Broadcasting live from the Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall, this is RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, a dine and donate program to benefit the Dream Come True organization. Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. We have a very special show lined up for you tonight. Keith Groller is on assignment out at Cedar Beach. Read all about it and his outstanding coverage in tomorrow's Morning Call. But tonight, boy, do we have an all-star panel and some great topics of conversation as we are talking Lafayette football. And let's get right to the introduction of some very special guests on the program here. From my right across the table here at the main desk of Buffalo Wild Wings, we have the voice of the Lafayette Sports Network, RCN Sports Director Gary Laubach, head football coach at Lafayette College, Mr. John Garrett, and the offensive coordinator, John Van Dam, and Luke Thompson, the defensive coordinator, talking Lafayette College football. Gentlemen, thanks so much for coming out here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I'm going to start off the program right away by getting Gary very mad at me by not asking an old school X's and O question, because there's one thing that I always think is very underrated in the sports world, and especially I think you guys are doing some great things at Lafayette College in terms of what you do off the field, your commitment to the community. You have a lot of your players involved in school districts, and John, you were giving me a long list of things that you are involved in, the program is involved in, and I don't think very many people know about. So maybe you could talk about all the great work you do off the field before we talk about the X's and O's of your program.
Well, thank you, Chris. We just try to develop the whole person, and so we think it's really important to give back to the community because this is such a great opportunity for them to attend Lafayette College. And so we do Read Across America, where we go into local elementary schools and have the players actually read to the kids. We do it on Dr. Seuss's birthday, which is very fitting. And then also, we've done other things as well. We do coaches in the classroom right on Lafayette's campus, where us coaches go back to school, and we choose to go and attend classes that our current football players are taking. So we surprise them, so we know if they are in class, and that's always a way to just to get to know the professors and know that we care about their academics. And then also other things in the community as well is we partner with organ donorship and also Be the Match, which is the bone marrow transplant spearheaded by Andy Talley, the former Villanova coach. And then also Third Street Alliance right there in Easton. And also the Five Star Heart Project, which is run by Bobby McLaren. Out of Allentown, just it benefits at-risk youth and teens. So we just try to expose the players to a lot of things and feel not only by obligation, but it's our privilege to give back to the community.
Guys, enough about that. Let's talk football. Luke, by the way, went back to school. They threw him out of class, so it was like old times.
That's
when
correct.
He was when he went to Lafayette. Looking at your resume, the three guys, I see 16 different programs you've been involved in. Football has been your vocational life, all of your life. So my first question to all three of you is, why football? What was it about football that made you decide, this is what I want to do all my life? I'll start with Luke.
I just think that once I was in college, I didn't know I wanted to be a college football coach until later in college. Some guys know going into it. Like when I went to college, I thought I was going to be an attorney, and mm-hmm. then I found out that was like a lot of work. So, but then, yeah, once I decided that I wanted to become a football coach, it really had to do with the fact that you can have such an impact on so many people's lives, you know, giving young men an opportunity that they might not otherwise have. I felt that was a really rewarding thing, and that's really what kind of jump-started me into getting into college coaching.
John, you've been involved in some outstanding programs, obviously, as has Luke, as has John. John, with a lot of NFL experience, but started with Michigan, you've been with Alabama, Florida, all over the place. And again, it must be the love of the game that just keeps you involved.
Yeah, well, that's part of, you know, thanks to our wives, you know, we move them around a little bit, but and our families. But the reason, you know, I coach really is, you know, my dad, you know, he was a college and high school football coach. And so when you grow up kind of like Coach Garrett did, and you're in those locker rooms and on the field and see the enjoyment and the impact you have on kids' lives, you know, it's a pretty cool thing. And mm-hmm. it's really the only thing I ever thought about doing, you know. So, you know, and you try to make that impact on their lives, you know, kind of like your father did. So
John, I think that leads right into you. Of course, your father, 38 years involved with the NFL, football of his life. You grew up with it all your life. I know your father passed away this past year, but he must have had even the most influence on you.
Oh, sure. He inspired me to get into coaching. He inspired me to play as long as I wanted to because that's what he did. It's a great game. It's the greatest team sport there is. The 11 guys trying to accomplish something that 11 guys are trying to prevent you to do. But also it just brings so many people together from all different backgrounds, and you get in that huddle and everybody comes together on the same page, and it's hard to gain a yard. It's hard to stop them from gaining a yard. It's hard to win football games. So that's why they only play one a week, Gary, because that's how important the games are. But also, too, the relationships and the experiences that you have and you build throughout the year has been a great inspiration for me. And after I stopped playing, it was just what I believe a natural way to stay in the game and part of the game is to go into coaching. And certainly my dad inspired me to do that.
Your first year as a head coach at Lafayette College, never been a head coach before. What are the good parts? What are the parts that aren't so good?
Well, it's an exhilarating job to lead a program, and it's a privilege and an honor to be responsible and lead the coaches that we have, because they're wonderful coaches, and also our players are just fantastic student athletes that love to compete and also love to do really well in the classroom. We say all the time that we want to build Renaissance men, guys that do a lot of things and a lot of hard things. That's been the great thing, and I just believe that the field is our sanctuary, that we can just get away from any sort of issue or problems or anything like that, and we get to go out and coach them get them to be better players and try to build a program that everybody's proud of. And you know, there's always something that comes up no matter what job you have, but the challenge is that you embrace the challenges. And you're not deterred by them. And just that response right there is what we're trying to teach our players, is that there's going to be adversity in life. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be things that come up, but it's how you respond and how you react and grit your teeth, rub your hands together and say, let's go, all right? This is what it's all about. And you strive to overcome it. And most of the time it's what builds your team to have greater character.
Coach Van Dam, this is your first year with the program, but Coach Garrett and Coach Thompson, I know this is your second year, and I know this it isn't easier, but it has to be a little bit more familiar. You get the first year things out of the way. You're familiar with the kids are familiar with you. Has it been a little easier or a little more familiarity this spring going through the process as opposed to last year, your first years with the programs?
Well, I think the big difference is that the first year, you're in implementation stage. You're installing your system, installing your culture, and implementing everything. And so it's a lot of assignment football, particularly on the field. A line up here. This is what you do. This is your assignment. So there's a lot of that basic teaching. But it was a joy this second go-around in the spring to go from what I call football 101, assignments to techniques and reactions and adjustments and really teaching the guys. So we've gone from football 101 to 303, and it's been a joy because they know the plays, they know the system, they know where to go, and now we can really, really dive into teaching them how to become better football players.
Luke, you had experience early on at Holy Cross, experience right up until Lafayette at Georgetown, so you were familiar with the Patriot League. How much did that help you last year produce a defense that was as good as any in the Patriot League for Lafayette?
Well, you know, I definitely had some, you know, familiarity with some of the other programs in the league. But really, it comes down to the players. I mean, the players did a great job this past year of buying into what we were doing defensively and really, you know, producing on the field. So I think that was the biggest reason. I mean, you know, as coaches, we're just trying to put them in the right position to make a play, but it's up to them to make the play. So I thought they did a great job with that and really buying into what we were doing as a whole program and really running with it.
You had similar success at Georgetown. After a couple of years, you took a team that ranked last in a lot of defensive categories, and you had them among the Patriot League leaders your third year there.
Yeah, no, it's and again, it's a testament to the players that we had at Georgetown as well. I mean, I had some great young men there, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to inherit and now recruit some great young men at Lafayette as well.
And John, of course, at Southern Illinois, had an offense that set all kinds of records there. So obviously, you have to be proud of that.
Yeah, no, and like Coach Thompson says, I mean, everybody runs the same plays. You know, it's how you teach it and how you teach the technique and how you rep it and what kind of players you have. You know, that's why we spent the last several months recruiting. You know, you got to have good players and put them in the position to have some success.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with the Lafayette coaching staff in just a moment. But right now, Tony Coca is standing by elsewhere here at the Buffalo Wild Wings patio with some of the Lafayette players. Coach Coca.
Hey, guys. How's it going out there? Here we are at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm with 2 3-year starters. On my left is Jerry Poe, and on my right is Eric Mitchell, 2 3-year starters on defense for the Leopards. So I'm going to ask him a question here defensively. As you came in as your both 3-year starters, how is it so different this year?
I think it comes down to loving the game. Everyone's having fun. My first few years here, I don't think we enjoy the game as much as we do now. Now we come in every day, we're ready to practice, we're having fun lifting, and it really coming down to just having fun and loving the game.
You having fun too?
Oh, yes, sir. Definitely. Definitely.
So tell me a little bit about the difference over the first year and a half with Coach Garrett coming in last year. Culture shock or no?
Definitely a culture shock. I would definitely say that throughout, this year and a half, we've definitely seen some changes throughout just, how people go about their enthusiasm when they walk in the locker room, and just everything has just changed since he's came here. I feel like he's brought a lot of energy that, that helps us, motivates us to be our best every day. And I feel like that is why we're seeing constant continual improvement each day.
I know Lafayette has a lot of expectations. How about the expectations? I'm going to come right over here. I'm going to come right back to you. How about the expectations for this coming football season?
Well, our main goal is to win the Patriot League. But before we do that, we got to focus on our opponent that we have at hand week by week. And if we do that and we got to come together as a unit, I feel like if we do that, then we'll be pretty good this year.
How about the expectations on your side?
Yeah, the expectation every year is to always win the league. That's what we strive for all the time. When our workouts, we think about winning the league. Last year we made great strides, and we're going to continue to even take a further jump and have a shot at the league.
I know Lafayette football is a mainstay here in the Lehigh Valley. How about some of the challenges that you have to face this year? You got a year under your belt. You're coming back into that Patriot League, which is always a tough league, a pretty balanced league. How about the expectations coming into this season?
So I want to say last year maybe we surprised people how well we played within the league. We won't have that this year, so we're going to have to live up to the expectation of even play at a higher level. But we're up for the challenge.
Do you feel there's a target on your back that they know that you can play football?
Yes, sir, I definitely do. I definitely think that the challenge for us this year would be filling in some of those main spots, like the guys that we lost, like Phil Parham, Brandon Bryant, Matt Mrazek, and Dylan Wadsworth, guys like that. I feel like we got to have guys step up in their places so that we're continue to make that stride.
So what do you think? What are you looking forward to the most this year as you go into this preseason? I know you're working hard in the summer, but what are you looking for the most coming into this 2018 season?
I would just say just getting back to it. I mean, it feels like it's been forever since we've been on the field. So I just feel like just getting out there in August, with all the guys and just being able to play football again and just being around the guys and just becoming a stronger unit. I feel like that's going to be the best thing to do.
Expectations are always high. How about your expectations?
Yeah, and like Eric said, we're all itching to get back. It seems like it's been forever since the last time we played. And like he said, we lost a lot of leadership. We are a young team, and people are going to have to step up and become leaders, and I think we have the people in place to make that happen.
Now, both of you are 3-year starters in this program. How do you prepare How is it different now, preparing now that you have a year under your belt? What are the preparations like now here at Lafayette Football?
Just to get better every day, be better than how you were before. You know, for us, we want to be way better than we were the year before. We're just going to constant and continually improve. And that's pretty much the attitude that we all have towards training and getting better.
As a D-back out there, are you preparing any differently? Are they having you run different speed drills out there to stick up? But these wide receivers are all over the place here.
Yeah, they are. But I wouldn't say we're doing more anything like technical-wise differently. I just feel like, you know, we got a lot of new guys coming in. So, you know, we got to make sure that they're up to pace when it comes, like, it might be their time to play. So we always got to make sure that anybody's, you know, next man up.
You always hear about the veterans on the team taking those rookies and helping them out. What's the biggest thing that you guys do in the defensive secondary to help those rookies that are coming in here to convert from a high school, which is sort of a little Neanderthal, to what you're going to get now at the collegiate level?
I would say from the high school to the college standpoint, I would say that the technicality and like just the way like the game is played, it's much different. I mean, when I came in my freshman year, I was all over the place. Especially, you got to learn a new defense, you got to learn how to play that, like play certain like coverages. And I feel like for the most part, teaching the freshmen like just like how the like the technical standpoint, so like how to like slide your feet, how to cut off like receivers, and how to stay in front of them, and then also learning the plays, I feel like that's a big key.
As a linebacker, I know your rules are changing. You can't go out. You can't be the headhunter that you want to be out there. But, again, helping those rookies coming in as a linebacker, what is the biggest thing that you have to teach these guys coming from the high school level to the collegiate level?
They just have to know that it's a faster pace. It's not high school. You know, in high school you could just show up and be better than everyone else. But in college, you know, everyone can play. So you got to be on your best every down. And, you know, I just, you know, it is football. I don't want them to get, you know, psyched out and, you know, just go out there and play. You're here for a reason.
Yeah, I just saw where Brett Favre is now going to the legislature and say we can't start tackling until we're over 12 years old. What do you think about, like, no tackle football below 12 years old?
I think it would have its advantages, but, you know, I don't think kids at 12-year-olds are hitting that hard anyway, so I think it's okay for them to tackle.
They're not making it a sissy sport, right? Not at Lafayette Football right now.
Oh, no, sir. Just making it safer.
You're out there. You're knocking heads every day. You have that practice every day. Coach Garrett doing a good job. I know your defensive coaches are probably going to have you really prepared. Who's your biggest, besides Lehigh, who's your biggest proponent there? Who's the biggest opponent that you have in that Patriot League this year that you're looking forward to playing?
I feel like all of them each have like that component that could beat us. So I feel like there isn't really like a team Lehigh and there are other teams out there, but I would say that we can't really just point one team out. I feel like we got to be prepared to play any of them, because who knows, you know, you can go in with one loss and, you know, not make it. So we got to see what happens.
How about you? Is there one team out there besides Lehigh that you really don't like?
No, we're taking every game the same attitude, same mentality. You know, we want to go out there and win every game, no matter who it is. We're not going to take anyone lightly or, you know, think we're better than anybody else. We're just going to, you know, keep the same mentality for every game.
Guys, it's been a long time since I played football, and I'm glad I don't have to play these guys, but I'd sure like to coach them once in a while every now and then. So, Coach Garrett, if you ever need a volunteer assistant, here I am. But, guys, thank you, and best of luck, and stay healthy out there this year. Okay. All right, guys.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony Coco. We'll be standing by and be talking with more players from Lafayette College in just a few moments. We're going to take our first break of the evening. Don't forget, if you're in the Whitehall area, come on out here to Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall up until midnight. Anytime you come here, just say to the waiter or waitress that you're here to support the Dream Come True organization as part of the RCN Dime and Donate program. We'd love to see you out here. You can see some great Lafayette personalities here if you come out here before 8 o'clock. But again, come out here before midnight and your 10% of your food bill will go to the Dream Come True organization. We'll be back with more of tonight's RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call, part of the Dine and Donate program. Our event tonight is raising money for the local Dream Come True organization.
organization. We're very pleased and honored to have guests from Lafayette College on: head coach John Garrett, offensive coordinator John Van Dam, defensive coordinator Luke Thompson, the voice of LSN, Gary Laubach. And we have some breaking news here. We'd like to introduce a new coach to the Lafayette coaching staff. Who's joining us here at the table? John, do you want to do the introductions?
Yes, who is this? This is Veda Van Dam right here. Veda, can you say hi?
Hi.
There you go. Right on cue. Perfect.
I think we have a Thompson at the other end.
Yeah. Here's go ahead. Tell him your name.
Luke.
All right.
And then we got
Maddie.
And then this is Joseph Van Dam right here, Veda's little brother.
Yeah, he's probably he's a man of few words.
Kind of leads me to my next question, to talking to you two guys. The life of an assistant coach, and a head coach for that matter, is very nomadic. I mean, you guys are all over the place, and you're never quite sure where your next home's going to be. How difficult is that? Not on you guys. You're out there coaching football. How tough is it on the family to make all that transition so many times?
I'll take this one first.
You can start that one off.
Yeah. I think it's easy on them. No. I'm just,
Your wife's
I think,
here.
I think it's our wives obviously do a great job with, you know, getting our kids adjusted to wherever we're going. And I'm really fortunate with my wife, Kristen. I mean, everywhere we go, it seems like we move into the house, and within a week, it looks like we've lived there for a year, you know? And she does a great job of getting involved in the community and getting the kids involved with other people in the neighborhood and in the community where I always feel guilty about it, but it's become pretty, like, seamless for them.
John, your transition
Yeah, so, there you go. Yeah. I've been married for 7 years. We lived in 6 different states, so it's been it's been an adventure. But you know, like Coach Thompson said, you gotta, you're as strong as your wife, really. You know, she holds it together, and she does a lot of good things, and helps keep me sane as well. And also, it's important when you're coaching at these different places is having a head coach that supports families. I mean, Coach Garrett's great about having our families up. You know, we have them up over lunch at the office, and they're running around, and Veda can go up there and pet the leopard and do whatever. So that support also helps, you know, and when you're home and when you walk in that door, you know, and you got to be able to turn off the switch, you know, mm-hmm. and no matter, you know, how many interceptions the quarterback's threw in that practice or whatever happened, you got to be able to turn the switch and give them a hug and, you know, be a dad.
John, your situation is a little different than theirs because they have really young children. You don't. You've got 4 kids, really some in college already, some obviously finishing out high school, some just finished high school. Situation is a little bit different for Honor, worrying about all 4 of them, and I'm sure it's much tougher for them to move around, the older kids, than maybe for the younger ones who haven't had the roots put down yet.
Well, Honor Garrett is a stalwart. Every time she walks into the office, I said, have you met the great Honor Garrett? So, you know, about moving, we moved a lot when I was young. My dad had several different stops in the NFL and in college, and we've had a few of our own. And I just remember the last one when I called Honor, had a moving question about, oh, just make sure that you get, you know, the estimates for the move and all that, and the return text was, I got this, you just coach football. So she's an experienced vet at it, and she's done a wonderful job of just diving into the community here at Lafayette. She takes an art class, and she actually was classmates with some of our players, which was exciting, but also when the players found out that they were in class with the head coach's wife, they realized that they had to attend class every single time and not miss one. You know, football is it's a galvanizing sport. It really brings so many people together, and it brings families together. And we've had our challenges moving different times. We've had to move twice when one of my children was going into their senior year in high school. But as my son John so eloquently said on a couple moves, and I said, I know it's not easy, John, but he said, you know what, Dad, not many people can say that they had Jason Witten over to their house. Mm-hmm. We've had and be able to go to football games, pro football games, and I've met kids that have never even gone to a game. So there's so many things that are special when you're the son or child of a football coach. But it's not comfortable. But they have experienced so many different parts of the country and have lived in so many different places that they really have maintained friendships all these kids throughout the country and experienced a lot of places. So they're better for it.
I'm sure they are, and obviously with great parents, great wives, it makes it all a little bit easier. Luke, let's talk football now. You're not going to be on here much longer. Your last chance. Tell us about the Lafayette defense 2018.
Well, we're excited. We have some really good players coming back. You met a couple of them earlier, and Jerry and Eric, and those are just a couple of guys. You know, we have some guys that have some experience coming back up front, in the linebacking core and also in the back end in the secondary. You know, our coaches, Coach Ciamalo, Coach Yonner, Coach McFadden, all doing a great job with those guys throughout the spring. Some guys have stepped up and are going to fill some voids that, you know, so like Eric mentioned earlier, we've lost, you know, a couple good players, mm-hmm. and Brandon and Phil Parham, Bo Bosch, Matt Rothrock, all those guys. Guys that have played a lot of football here, but I'm excited about the group that we have right now, and we're excited to supplement it with some of the incoming freshmen as well.
John, I don't know if it's a fair question. You haven't been here all that long, but the offense, how's the offense looking? How is your ability to learn the playbook so quickly?
Yeah, no, well, that's one great and one reason I came here. I've spent some time with Coach Garrett before. We were at the University of Florida together, and so there's quite a bit of similarities in what we do and in our philosophies. So that's been a fairly easy transition from that standpoint. Even some of the names are exactly the same, mm-hmm. that we've called it. So, you know, whenever you change offenses, you know, a lot of people run the same plays. They just call them with something maybe a little different. So it's been fun. I got here right before spring practice, and we were able to get through that and I feel like make strides forward offensively. You know, getting a good quarterback group back of some guys that – I believe can continue to progress and help us move the football, which is awesome, you know. And as Coach Thompson said, you know, and as we said before, it's about the players and they're buying into what we're doing. They're buying into our offensive philosophy of be hard to beat, and you know, so it's been a really positive experience for me, and we're really looking forward to the fall. You know, I think we got a special group coming.
One question I want to ask, too, before we had the break here. And we just had Jerry Poe on. Tony just interviewed him during the last segment. A guy that was very consistent but could also be a great playmaker for you. I know, you know, as fans, a lot of football fans, they love to see big plays. They love to see big playmakers. They love to look at big game stats. But you also have a lot of returning players that were very consistent last year. And I guess you could say this on offense and defense. How important is it to have not only a guy who can make plays and be a flashy type player, but also be very consistent, be very reliable, and do a lot of the things that maybe casual fans don't realize?
Well, Jerry Poe is really just a cornerstone of our defense. He's been really consistent. He plays the system very well, and within the system, he makes plays. And that consistency, the way he conducts himself, is one of the reasons why he was voted captain, because of he's the right kind of guy. And he plays very well, and he leads by example. So we are really fortunate to have him at a really key position on defense, and he will just lead the way on that side of the ball.
All right, and the captains I was going to ask you about after the break, because you did something kind of unique with your captains this year. We'll touch on that when we come back. This is RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Whitehall. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, broadcasting live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Whitehall. Very glad you could join us tonight. A very special program here at the main desk. We have Tony Coca, a behind the scenes. He's going to be talking to some of the Lafayette players in just a moment. But to my right, Gary Laubach, the voice of Lafayette Sports Network and RCN Sports Director. Head coach John Garrett is going to stay with us for the next couple segments. Defensive coordinator Luke Thompson is here as well. And we're very happy to welcome in this segment Mark Noodleberg, the recruiting and special teams coordinator. Mark, thanks for joining us here.
It's my pleasure to be here.
My first question, I know Gary has a bunch of X's and O's questions, but one of your assignments is in South Florida. And I just want to say, wouldn't it add a little bit more to your recruiting to have a show host and a camera person around with you going around in South Florida in the winter months?
You know,
just a little extra incentive.
I think that's a
just
great
a
idea. I think you and I should spend the entire month down there.
Okay, you tell Rick Kehoe that
we'll go around, we create a recruiting segment
exactly
that we put out every week. You know, I think it's a great idea, Coach.
And Gary's approved it, so we're all set.
Wait a minute, I just quit my job to go with Noodle. And I'd like to hang around with Noodle, to be honest with you. You know, John Garrett has unbelievable, he just has so much energy. I mean, it's unbelievable just hanging around him because he's got so much football energy. But he doesn't quite have the amount of energy that guy has. If you ever go to a Lafayette practice, and, you know, I'm sure John would welcome you to come and take a look at one of the Lafayette practices. You just are energy personified, and I really can understand. I know why kids want to play for John, because he's a great speaker, he's a great motivator, but so are you. And the love of the game is something we talked about at the beginning of the show. Talk about your love for this game.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. My track into coaching is very different than a lot of these guys. I didn't play college. I didn't have a dad who was in it. I had to kind of work my way from the bottom up, and I started as an equipment manager at Florida State. Became a student assistant coach there, and then followed my mentor Eddie Grand to Cincinnati, and from there it was a ups and downs of getting hired and fired and worked at a lot of places, and I've worked for a lot of really good people. But what I saw early on in my career was, the like a lot of these guys, the ability to impact people's lives at a prime age. Not mm-hmm. that there's, you know, it's important when you're young and all that, but at this point in time where they're 18 to 22 and they're starting to figure out what they want to do with their lives and where they want to go, and you can kind of be that rock for them to help apply discipline and help hold them accountable and kind of be that person, help guide them through a really tumultuous 4 years of your life where you're trying to figure out what's happening and you're experiencing a lot of things for the first time. It's an unbelievable experience, and to be able to be a special teams coordinator and do all that at the same time, it's just something that I really cherish.
What's it like for you, because you hung around with some great programs too, like everybody else, but to be around a guy like Jimbo Fisher, to be around a guy like Bobby Bowden, who obviously are legends, to be around the Garretts, I mean, the Garretts are legends in football. What's that like for you as a young guy?
Brian Polian at the University of Nevada and Tommy Tuberville at the University of Cincinnati. I've been really, really fortunate to work with unbelievable head coaches and guys that have all different styles. The one thing that I take away from it is that there's multiple ways to skin a cat. Right, I mean, you can. Not everybody is the same, and not every head coach has a different philosophy or what they want to hold as their cornerstone to their program. And there's a lot of guys who are successful doing it a lot of different ways. So I think it's really important to be true to who you are as a person. I think the kids can see through, you know, if you try to phony it or fake it and be mm-hmm. somebody that mm-hmm. you're not. I think the kids see through that pretty quickly. So I think it's important to know who you are as a person so that you can then convey that to them. And that really creates buy-in into what you're trying to get them to do.
We heard some of the players earlier talking about the new mentality that Coach Garrett, since you've taken over the program that's been there, some of the other players in other interviews have said kind of the same thing. What does that mean to you? Is that something you consciously tried to do when you came here? And what were some of the things you tried to do to change the mentality and upgrade Lafayette football?
Well, I think the number one thing is I just I tried to be myself. I think it's really important to do that. You're genuine that way. And I just wanted to coach the team the way I enjoy to be coached. And that was to challenge and encourage the players to be their best in every aspect of their lives. And that's what we try to do. And we try to convey that message or portray that message in all different ways every single day by the way we act, by the way we perform, by the way we coach out on the field, and also the messages in the team meeting. So I think it's just that, because ultimately it's about personal development. And if you can influence individuals, form them into a team, and then get the team to play up to their optimum, then it puts yourself in position to be successful.
All these guys, Chris, all the coaches, John, you've all coached almost every aspect of the game, which I think a lot of fans at home probably don't realize. Like, Luke, you're the defensive coordinator. Probably people think you've been around defense all your life, and that's not true. You've been around every aspect of the game all your life. Is that an easy transition for you? Is defense now your niche, or could you go and still coach the offensive side of the football?
I definitely see myself as a defensive guy now. But, yeah, absolutely. Like, the time that I have spent on the offensive side of the ball has been a great it's been a great experience for me to be able to apply some of that to the defense, mm-hmm. where you know, hey, this is what the offense is trying to do. And I'm far from like an expert with that stuff, but I think it is interesting to see it from the other side of the ball. I think it's provided me some perspective in that regard. So, and then, you know, special teams wise too, I mean, you know, I have a lot of respect for what Noodle does too, because I've been there, you know, and done that, and that's a hard job, mm-hmm. now. When you're blending offensive guys, defensive guys, you're putting them collectively together to try and accomplish something that a lot of people would say, you know, is the third part of the game, you know, but maybe a lesser part, when in a lot of ways it's the most important part, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's been great for me as well, you know, from a special team standpoint.
Mark, how much of being a special teams coach is X-ing and O-ing and technical, and how much of it is it looks almost 90% emotional, that you really have to get out there on one particular play and give it everything you have? But I know it's more technical than that.
Yeah, I think if you ask some of the guys that you're interviewing before, they'll tell you how technical it is, because I harp on that, you know, mm-hmm. every single meeting that we're in, because it's yes, you have to be athletic. Yes, you have to be able to do the things that we need you to do, but it's all about the technique. It's don't make it more difficult on yourself, right? Don't try to muscle it, right? If you'll use the technique, it'll come naturally to you, and we'll be able to do some really good things. And I think that's the hard part, is that most people look at special teams and they think, oh, kickoff, you just run down the field and go make a tackle. Yeah. It's really not that simple, you know? I mean, it's really, there are certain techniques that you should use, and if you use those techniques, you'll be successful. And if you don't, you won't be. And if you simplify it in that way and get them to buy into the techniques and do the things that you need them to do, you can be really successful. But it's not what people think it is, and it is. I harp that to them all the time, is that you don't get a third down. Mm-hmm. There is no mm-hmm. second down coming. We get one snapshot at this, and if we get one kickoff return in the game and one guy messes up on the kickoff return and we don't score because of that, that's it. You had your opportunity and you let it go. So, and how many times do we go in there on a Sunday and say, hey, you're that one guy, you know? So it's you know, you keep pressing that to them, and the buy-in comes, and hopefully you end up being successful because you stress the importance of every play.
Let me give you, I just give them one snapshot, Chris, and then I'll let you. Let's snapshot Lehigh game, C.J. Amile, 96-yard return, give the Lafayette Leopards the lead. What's the feeling inside for the special teams coach?
In all honesty, it was the proudest moment of my coaching career, only because they had been so successful all year. Like, in the four games prior to that, we had 30 kickoff returns, right? And 22 of them had gone past the 30-yard line. So, you know, it's unbelievable when they're being successful and they haven't reached that pinnacle of putting a touchdown on the board. And I just so happened to tell them the night before that, guys, you guys have been so good, you deserve to score a touchdown. And to see that happen in that moment, so proud for those kids and so proud for our sideline. And it was such an exuberant moment in that game that's what it's about, you know, is when you see all the hard work of those kids starting in spring all the way through the very last game of the year, and then that payoff moment for them, and to see the aha moment for them of the, oh, wow, it really does, you know, so that it's so much fun.
All right. Tony Coca is standing by with more Lafayette football players, including one high school football fans I'm sure will recognize. Tony?
Hey, guys, I don't understand. You moved the tent down there, and we get the sun down here. I'll tell you what, with the cheap seats, guys, it's the cheap seats. Hey, I'm on the offensive side this time. I'm here with Kevin Zadovsky, and I'm here with Julian Spigner. Julian played at Becca High School, so the people in the Lehigh Valley, you might recognize them. And so let's just get into this right away. You have a new offensive coordinator coming in. You have to learn a new offensive playbook. So how's your preparing right now?
Julian?
Well, when we first got our new coaching staff and got the new playbook, obviously we had a lot of installs. So we just had a lot of meetings and a lot of walkthroughs just going through it. But I think now at this point, I could say that we're all confident in the playbook and we're all ready to go.
You know, in the defensive line, they just react to what you guys do. So as an offensive lineman, studying the playbook, how difficult is it this year compared to the past?
It's not too difficult this year. I mean, like, from last year, it's pretty much the same kind of thing. It's like, football is football, you know. It's like, it's honestly, like, the terminology that changes that much. I mean, like, everything else, like, everything is like a double team and everything like that. So nothing changes too much. It's pretty simple.
How about expectations in the 2018 season here? What are your expectations this year at Lafayette?
So obviously every year, like, we have one goal, and that's to win the Patriot League. And I think that's I think that's an honest thing to do, like, every single year go in. And I think that's the thing that you got to do every single year. And have confidence in yourself and confidence in our team. And I think this year we'll have a chance.
Preparation as a wide receiver, how different and difficult is it when you're getting a new system? Or is it basically the patterns and the quarterback's got to read that?
I think it's definitely different in a new system. Like, each coach has, like, their way of teaching something, and each coach has their specific way of how you want to run a route. So I think the biggest thing was adjusting to, like, what we were taught in this offense compared to what we were normally taught, like, my first year. But I think our coaches are doing a good job and really getting us going.
Some of the biggest challenges that you're going to be facing this year playing football at Lafayette?
For me personally, or... I mean, being a high school quarterback and playing receiver now, that's always, like, the transition's tough, but I think I'm coming along, and I think I'll be all right and ready to go.
As a quarterback, you knew where the receivers were going to be. Does it make it simpler for you now that you're running their routes?
It definitely makes it simpler. It's also pretty cool to be on the other end. I mean, if I get a ball thrown across the middle, I'm like, wow, like, I know how that feels like now if I get cracked, but it's fun. I like it. I enjoy it. It's a good time.
As an offensive lineman, I know they're coming at you to hold that. You want to run block or you want to pass block?
Man, I always want to run block. You know, it's like we always have that, like, discussion in the offensive room. You know, it's like, as an offensive lineman, we always want to be able to run, because, like, if we don't run the ball, you know, if we have, like, only 100 yards rushing a game, you know, it's our fault, you know. So I think, like, running the ball is a passion that we have and, like, we want to do every single year.
When you get young guys coming into your program and they're going in the offensive line, they're coming out of high school and it's like 32 WHAM, it's 16 G, something like that. The difficulty of becoming an offensive lineman at the collegiate level at Lafayette, how do you take them through that?
Yeah, man, it's a lot more complex in high school, I'll say that. But, you know, like, being in the summer, like, during camp and everything like that, and having them up in the summer, like, we get to help them out. Like, and us older guys, you know, we have to help them out a little bit more because some of the coaches can't be around and everything like that just because of, like, NCAA violations and stuff like that. But, you know, it's definitely a difficult task. But, I mean, if they step in and they learn and they adapt to the offense well, you know, like, they're going to have a chance to play every single year.
When you're running those patterns, how much are the coaches, like, on you when you got to make that cut at that particular time there? So is it a little bit more difficult when you're running the patterns and the coaches are on top of you?
I wouldn't say it's more difficult, but it's definitely just, like, something that helps motivate you, because Coach Garrett's a big hands-on guy, so he's always there behind the line of scrimmage, like, watching us and making sure everything's, like, perfect and exact. So it definitely helps. And, like, I'm pretty appreciative for it because I know it's making me a better player.
I had the two defensive guys over here before. How about at practice? How competitive is it with those defensive players?
It gets pretty competitive. Like the saying goes, like, iron sharpens iron. So I love competing. The guys on defense love competing. So we just go at each other and try to make each other better.
Can you catch that linebacker that's on that other side? I mean, he's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's like we always say, like, in the spring and in camp, you know, it's like we're basically two separate teams, but at the end of the day, we're the same team, you know, and we compete to make each other better, but at the end of the day, we're the same. We're a family, and we want to stay together.
The old white shirt, red shirt type thing, huh? Is there a team in the Patriot League besides Lehigh that really gets under your craw that you really want to take it out on there?
Nah, I mean, like, the Patriot League changes year to year, so, and you know, it's like teams lose players, their key players, and every single year young guys step up, you know, and I think this year I think everyone's going to be a challenge.
When you came to Lafayette, what was the biggest reason that you chose a school? Academically, one of the top schools in the country, academically and football-wise, it's coming back. So what was your motivation when you picked that Lafayette College?
Definitely a big shout-out to both my parents for attending Lafayette College and being alumni. If I was going to go Patriot League, it was going to be Lafayette. So I'm thankful for my decision. I'm thankful for the position I'm in. So it'd be my parents, the reason why I came here.
A lot of the kids I talk to in the Valley, they want to go away from home. They don't think that it's like you could be in Hawaii for all you want. But, I mean, the difference of going, staying close to home from Becca High right here to Lafayette.
Definitely has its benefits. I mean, I could go home whenever I need like a meal or anything, and my parents are always there for me. Like, I don't really get homesick, so it's nice. I enjoy it. I enjoy commuting. I enjoy having like my friends and family around me all the time. So I love it here.
Every offensive lineman has a play that he loves. I mean, that's that one where it's going to go 10 on 10 and we're going to go forward. Is there a particular offensive play that you really love and say, coach, let's run it. It's ours all the time.
Yeah, so playing center, you know, like most of the time it's just double team with the guard. But I like pulling a lot. And my freshman year I played guard, so I love to pull. So when we do like a toss crack and stuff like that, when I can get out on the edge, I think that's my favorite play.
How difficult was it in the transition from Lafayette, let's say 2 years ago when you first came into the program, to what it is now?
It's not too difficult, you know. Like, we have a great coaching staff, a great, like, support system at Lafayette, you know. Like, anything, any problems we have, you know, we can go to whoever we need, and everyone's there for you, you know. It's like, I always say, it's a family community, and that's as close as it's going to get.
How difficult the transition from last year to this year is it going to be?
I wouldn't say it's going to be too difficult because I feel like we're right there knocking on the door. We just got to put a couple more things together, like iron out the details. I think we'll be all right. We'll be ready to go.
And guys, I'm excited to watch Lafayette football. The defensive guys, the offensive guys, I'll tell you what, class acts, and besides that, they're stellar in the classroom. Hey, let's go Leopards. Okay, guys, have a great season. Stay healthy.
All right, thank you very much, Tony. We're going to take a break and be back with our last segment. Before we go to break, though, a quick Lafayette athletics note, though. Congratulations to Scott McAvoy from the men's lacrosse team. He received Patriot League Outstanding Leadership and Character Award. That was just announced in the last 24 hours. So a big congratulations to Scott McAvoy, another great Leopard doing some great things. Our final segment featuring Lafayette football on the other side of this timeout. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. So glad you could be with us this evening on a very special program. Again, big thanks to Gary Laubach, John Garrett, Luke Thompson, Mark Noodleberg joining us again for this segment. Coach Garrett, thanks so much for joining us, bringing your coaching staff, bringing your players here. It's been a really fun evening. We appreciate you giving a little bit of your summer and sharing some Lafayette football talk with us. I did want to ask you about the motto this year, because I had to do a double take. It's Kernan. Kernan is your motto this year. What does that mean, and why is Kernan your motto?
Well, it's really not our motto. It's Lafayette's motto, and Kernan means why not. And it's used several ways at Lafayette College. Why not try hard things and do hard things? And then I sort of used it last year to say, why not shoot for the Patriot League Championship, and why not us? That just breeds some confidence. I think it shows that the coaches believe in the players and the program. And with that infusion of confidence, I think you just play better and it means a little bit more to you. And I believe you get the best out of your players when they know that you believe in them. I think that's one of the greatest things you can ever give someone is a belief in themselves that they can accomplish far greater than they ever thought they could accomplish, and that's one great gift that my dad gave to me.
Yeah. We have about 2 minutes left in our show, so I just want to go down the list. What's the next couple weeks like for you? What would you like to see as we get closer and closer to the opening of the football season?
Well, in the next couple weeks, you know, our players are, we have a lot of guys that are on campus working out with our strength and conditioning staff. So those guys are doing a great job getting bigger, stronger, faster, getting ready for preseason camp, getting their bodies prepared for that. And then as coaches, you know, recruiting is a year-round endeavor now. So we're, you know, we have prospective student athletes visiting campus all the time and working camps, and we're going to take a little time here in the next couple weeks to for a little R&R as well, and really be able to hit the ground running when we come back right before August.
Mark, how about you? What's the next couple
I'm
months?
I'm going to stay true to my recruiting nature and plug our camps. We have a camp this Saturday, right? We have a camp July 14th and July 21st, and we encourage all academic student athletes to participate in those. It's your best way to become part of the Lafayette College experience and to take your shot at being a Leopard. So we have three more camp dates. The more guys that get on campus and the more guys that get to camp make recruiting real for themselves. So that's the most important thing that guys can do right now during this summer period is get themselves on campus and get evaluated by us in person.
Good. Coach yeah. Garrett?
Well, Luke alluded to it. We have about 30 guys on campus right now, concluding our first summer session of strength and conditioning. They'll take a week off, and then we start summer session two, the beginning of July, where we'll have 75 or more guys on campus. So that right there is the buy-in. That right there is the commitment that they will remember and lay the foundation for how we perform this fall. So really pleased with that. And like Coach Thompson said, the recruiting part of it is a year-round thing, and we're constantly asking kids to come to campus because we have so much to offer the student athletes. We have a wonderful athletic village, a fantastic school, a beautiful campus, and a great opportunity to for student athletes to earn a fantastic degree.
And the first game, Gary, you'll be calling on LSN?
First game is September 1st, Sacred Heart, as we'll be traveling to Sacred Heart to bring that first victory with the Lafayette Leopards.
Is that Cold lock prediction?
That's a stone-cold prediction.
All right. Well, coaches, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck on the upcoming season.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks.
Go Leopards.
All right. And again, big thank you to Lafayette. We'll be back next week with another edition of Sports Talk. Of course, tonight's the NBA draft. We'll have some NBA writers on next week's show to recap it with some teams of interest in the RCN TV covering area. That'll be next Thursday night here on Sports Talk. For Gary, our co-host tonight, for Tony Coke, our co-host, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.